to each other. 2005, as amended by amending squiggly thing 1-16, defining the term half-story as recommended by Planning and Zoning Commission. Before we review this too much, there's a couple thoughts. So all the commissioners are aware, you may not be, but in the NR district is a unique area of town. The NR district is the single family cottagey. There's some condos and little things in there as well. But that district has a unique requirement to be 2.5 stories. In our definition of 2.5 stories, the person who wrote the statement reads it one way, and I read it the same way until somebody read it to me the exact same words from their perspective. And it was amazing. It says that a 2.5-story building must be this, except if it has a mansard or a gambrel roof. Which I, in my the first reading, thought that means you can't have those roofs. But the interpretation was that if you had those roofs, you could go above 2.5 stories. This is a housekeeping issue. I've looked at this over and over. There are many things about it that I would like to discuss and debate and talk about more in the future. And I even urge P&Z to take this again and talk about it more. But this is a housekeeping issue. This is the ordinance that is before us has a drawing that actually depicts what we should look like when they're 2.5 stories. And it talks about it makes the same language from two different places where it talks about the knee wall and how high it should be. That's, for me, it's a pet peeve. I don't like a 3-foot knee wall. I think it could be 4 or 5. But then it gets into the discussion of whether that's a third story or not. So for the purposes of our meeting, I hope you've all read this and given a careful thought. This has been on the planning and zoning table a lot. They've tossed it around and reviewed it. And this is one that I think that deserves a discussion and a motion to approve.
I move that we approve this change in zoning.
Any other discussion? Anyone in the public that's up on this topic that wants to
add? There's somebody here I think probably wants to speak. And if I could just set this up a little bit. I
mean, yes, sir.
This was sent to the Planning Commission to take a close look at the definition of half-story. And they've done that. And they've come back with language they think is greatly enhanced or improved over what previously existed. They also included in their recommendation some language. I don't know if you have it in writing. I think it may have been provided in writing, but it goes to the basic notion that what is described in this half-story definition and refers to in some instances as elements including dormers and such seems to suggest that the town is prescribing a particular type of architectural style as opposed to any other. Planning and zoning fully endorses this definition of half story, but wanted to comment to come back to you that you may want to hear from others who think that this unnecessarily prescribes an architectural feature, and that also there may be other methods to get to the same place, other devices you could use, such as just a general area restriction, which might open the door to some other types of
methods. Yeah. I've talked to several members of P&Z, and I had forgotten that conversation, so thank you.
But didn't they also say that they wanted to get this passed?
They said they wanted to
get this passed.
They said get this passed.
And then talk about it.
And that was clear. They did not want to bog down their assignment any further. But they are encouraging council or the commissioners to consider those additional comments and perhaps send another assignment down to them. But firstly, you've got to get this done because there are issues with applications that are coming in and some inconsistencies in what's being approved and what isn't.
And I opened it up to the audience before it gets back to us, so I'm going to...
I'll make a motion. That'll be discussed first. And then.
No, I'd like to ask the public before we go to...
All right.
Just since...
Well, yeah, that'll be before I need to discuss.
Oh, we're going to discuss it. Okay. Yes. But I opened it up, and I saw eager attention. Does anyone want to make a comment about tonight's story? You have 3 minutes. Please come and state it.
Yeah, actually, I just probably wanted to make a comment after the... the clarification here is to get it done and resolved so that we don't have a lot of overbuilding that is taking advantage or, you know, interpretation of the permit code. And that's been ongoing for a while, so I support that. But I would just like to comment after you vote on the further referral.
Excellent. I apologize. I need to drag it up there. This is a unique area of town, and our comp plan does want us to try to maintain that area of town the way it is as well. So that's part of our mission here, is to make sure we have balance when we think about the wooded north end of the town. Sorry.
My comment is just I think they've done a really good job of defining a half story. I mean, the limit is very specific in Table 2 of the zoning code. It says... structures in the NR zone are limited to 2.5 stories, but we couldn't figure out exactly what a half story was. There seemed to be a lot of debate about this, and I think this makes it very clear. The other question I have, though, is whether or not this drawing can be made in some sense a part of the definitions as well. There is a definition in there now about knee wall, and knee wall is really totally inappropriate. Defining what a half story was. It made no sense at all.
It didn't make sense.
But, you know, there is a diagram of a knee wall, so why can't we have a diagram of a half story? Because I think this helps make it very clear.
I agree. There's a motion, there's a second. We've discussed it.
Well, the point is about the drawing. I suggest that we say we want to incorporate it in the definition.
Okay.
I draw incorporate the drawing in the definition.
I think I did.
We'll see that you're changing your motion.
Yes. I would like to amend my motion to include the drawing as part of the definition.
Yeah.
And you made a second. We have a second. This is an important housekeeping issue, and I don't mean to go over it so quickly, but we don't want to see any more of the cheap and three-story houses in the north end of town. We want to try to straighten that out now. And I also, you know, just as a public comment, welcome the committee to review what you're talking about, Councillor, is a solicitor. We investigate the idea of perhaps just looking at a square footage that we can live with in that area of town. It's not tricky, it's not far, it's not, but a livable conditioned space that is the minimum or maximum square footage we'd allow. Currently, you can do 5,000 square feet. Technically, you can't do it, but you could sure try. And that's what I would like to avoid in that area of town. So, there's a motion, there's a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none. This goes back to my passionate discussion about the money. And this is me. I know there's other people that understand this topic. Currently, most of the homes in the north end of town are single-story homes. Original cottages in the north end of town often referred to as mid-century cottages that are located on quarter lots are already violating their side yard setbacks. And that's grandfathered in. They've been there forever. But in our code, in our zoning code, we have a restriction on corner lots for the side yard setback to be 15 feet. When we think about the charter and its mission to help us keep the character of our town, I thought it was important that we take a moment and ask zoning to consider a couple things. One is perhaps square footage of homes in the north end of town, but also relaxing that side yard setback from 15 feet to perhaps what Rehoboth has is 10 feet. Now, I'm not asking for us to vote on that or to consider that tonight, but what I'd like you to do is think about the north end of town and how the houses are already, most of them on the corner lots, are right up to their property lines or within less than 8 feet. The reason that in some municipalities that you want a greater side yard setback in on corner lots is for visibility around the corners. In our little town, we have huge, I was going to call it common area, but community area, town land that buffers King Charles to the property lines. So I would like us to consider making a motion that we send to PNZ to discuss the idea of reducing the side yard setbacks for corner lots in the NR district.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Any discussion from the public? Going that way first. He lives in the wooded north end of town.
Landry 102 Cullen. We're on a corner lot, and we found it very hard to find a building plan that would fit on a corner lot because you're only allowed to build a house a maximum of 27 feet. And that's tough. We even started looking at townhouse plans and trying to convert those into single family.
Landry, can I ask you a question? Did that force you? I can't do that. I'm sorry. I broke my own rule. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Ask him.
You can't. It's inappropriate.
Ask him after.
Huh? Ask anyone.
Did it make you go up? Did it force you to go up in your building plan?
It did. Yeah. We've got about 2,500 square feet.
The house
is bigger than it is. But it's only 27 feet wide.
And the only basement in town, too. I'll shut up.
We got a 9-foot basement. Believe it or not, on Cullen Street, we have probably 50% of the houses have basements. Huh. Our two houses, one next to us, one next to that. Courtney's house has one.
Yeah.
Cottage.
Here we are. I cannot.
I apologize. I thank you for your time. I appreciate that.
Thank you, because if you did relax at it, maybe allow a person to go to a 30-foot house that's much more buildable on a lot.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Marcia Schick, 201 Caroline. Just echoing the same thing, I actually was hoping to get a chance to speak on your last agenda item referring the 2.5 story. I could have some time to incorporate that, because I did come prepared that they asked me to do from the planning and zoning meeting that I attended. So just to address that first, if I could.
Thank you.
One of the reasons that I spoke at that meeting about trying to find a better formula for what we do on the third story or part of the third story on the north end is that a good portion of the houses up there are mid-century modern, and we don't dictate to a half story with dormers, and that's not the character of that north end. The comp plan says it's a blueprint for the state, and one of the items was it's a blueprint on community character. And later in the comp plan, it tells you that you need to recognize the character of the different zoning codes and have that reflected. It says that the town of Dewey Beach works to preserve the existing character of the town. And the objective is to establish a zoning code that permits residential development and encourages the rehab of aging housing, including non-conforming structures, to preserve the existing housing. And the action they recommended was that the town should work to identify and define the character of those residential communities within each zoning district and establish zoning and other municipal code modifications that will allow architecturally interesting design options while preserving the elements of the built environment that support the existing sense of community. So for us, and we own 4 of those mid-century moderns, 2 in Chesapeake and 2 going to be 3 on Carolina, this is the style when you build up and you preserve the character of a mid-century modern house. This is a nice example of using that character for 3 stories. But those houses exist as the type of house, and what the 2.5 stories is forcing me to take mine and put a peak on the top and completely destroy the character of the house. So I made some suggestions that we would far exceed if any of us that own these went to 3 stories and you either had a specific just 3,800, 3,900, 3,600 square feet, you would eliminate all your concerns that were the concern for the half story. And likewise, as an example, on one of our houses, we're only going to build a third story on 50% of that house. I will far exceed what you were trying to achieve by keeping more airspace for my neighbors and not building up. So I just wanted to pass those around and just ask you for that portion of the agenda, if you would send that back to them. They seemed interested in looking at that, mostly because it does allow us to preserve that. At the current, I just can't do that. And so to speak for the setback, I think the same issue exists. It was 2 items. You didn't give me a chance on your last one.
3 minutes.
I think the same issue exists. And 27 feet, we've looked at plans too. You just can't stay low. We can't stay in the preservation of the one story, which on some of ours we want to maintain. So I would encourage you to send that to them to look at it so we can have public hearings there. I think most of our corner lots are already encumbered by either fences, 20-foot high trees that go up to the property line. We've got giant easements of 5 to 10 feet that are already a huge buffer. So I feel like in looking at that too, in the whole picture of the roofs and the corner lots, it's taking away 480 square feet per floor of corner lot floor. So in 2 floors, it's 1,000 square feet. You almost absolutely have to go up. But as we build our house at 103 Carolina this winter, because we could expand the full back to the full size, we could fit 3 bedrooms back there and didn't have to go up. And I think it's really in line with the objective of what we should be looking at for preserving those.
I'll say thank you, and it is a beautiful, beautiful home. It's really nice.
I don't want to live in it myself.
Leave me in, not a minute.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second to send this to P&Z for some review. I'd like to also send them the
pictures.
Yes, so that they get the idea of what mid-century looks like, so debate that and bring it back to us. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none? The motion carries. Let's do muscle movement again. No. Committee reports. Any committees here want to give a report? Say no. Thank you very much. Town manager comments?
Just a few briefly. At the last meeting, I mentioned the collection of beach taxes. So at the June 8th meeting, the total number of properties that owed for beach tax was 60 properties, owed an amount of $9,688.83. The staff has been diligently trying to get this number down to get everybody paid in full before the next round of billing goes out. And as of this afternoon, we're down to 37 properties with a total amount owed of $5,648.82.
Almost half.
We're making progress. As I indicated earlier, the Hyatt project is underway. There's a number of follow-up issues that the staff has to undertake over the next few weeks and months to ensure that they're tracking correctly to completion. The partners are on record as they plan for the convention center to open in, I think, July of 2019, which sounds like a long way away, but really isn't in construction terms. So there is a lot of activity that will happen on that site over the next few months. And I'm now 3 months in, a little over 3 months in, 4 months in, I guess. Sometimes
it's like a year.
Losing count. But I would like to commend the chief and his staff. If anybody has ever done event planning or security planning for big events. There was a lot of people in town on the 4th of July. And it seems like it should be something that's very easy, but the police department did a very good job with assistance from other agencies and people kind of monitoring a very nice event in the town of Dewey Beach with a lot of people that came in from the outside. So there was assistance from DelDoc, there was assistance from the state police, and the mountain police and stuff. And to accommodate that many people, they did a very good job. I'd like to recognize them for that. And on a number of other issues, the citizens of Dewey Beach and the visitors of Dewey Beach have a history of being a very generous bunch of people. They contributed heavily to the dune mats, and they also contributed funds to the Dewey Beach Patrol's competition efforts. This was a source of discussion previously. The competition account has been turned over to the town. We are a signatory on the account. But we still, as far as I'm concerned, are encouraging them to attend the competitions and continue with their fundraising efforts. You don't have to give to them, but everybody needs to understand, which I did not initially, that the Beach Patrol serves a number of different purposes for us. They monitor the water. They monitor the activity on the beach, but they're also in a position to provide EMS service to the town and the visitors that are coming through town, because on a busy afternoon, if you are in need of a paramedic, a beach patrol person is going to get to you a long time before anybody else is. So I would just request that people consider giving to the GARMS as their competition account. My understanding is the women did very well at the aerobic competition, and they are poised to go not just to local but regional and potentially national if they perform. So I would hope that we could encourage them
first rate
to perform and continue with their public service. So, other than that, I don't have any other comments.
The good news is, according to the board, fundraising money had to be turned in today.
Yes.
They might be done. So
captain,
it hit your house, you probably got it.
The captain was in the office doing a lot of photocopying of things to prepare for that. But I, it is my understanding that they do a fundraising effort, and then they also do several events to raise money, including several 5Ks or at least a 5K and some other events. So there are other opportunities if you miss the donation.
Sure. A lot of discussion about money tonight. You know, we talked a few months back about getting our arms around legal expenses and, you know, how we got there. And, you know, we heard some criticism tonight about we're not being transparent with it, you know, forthcoming on what's, you know, what are we, you know, where's that stuff at? I mean, there's apparently people believe that we're hiding things, and I'm not sure that's that could be further from the truth. I mean, I'd like to put everything out there. I mean, back a number of months ago, we talked about a full forensic audit, and it was voted down. I mean, it's, there's a big expense to do it. The participation in the LESO program is, as far as I know, hasn't been done at all yet this summer, right? I mean, I think that's been, ever since Scott's come on board, that's now disappeared. So, I mean, these are the things that, you know, we wanted an auditor to come in and audit this. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to get my cousin or my friend or someone to do it. I want somebody that's from the outside to do this audit. And that audit needs to be done and completed, and I'm not sure the public is aware of what's been going on. We hired TGM Group to do a job, and hopefully we get this information pretty soon. And, you know, we have to pass audits. I mean, there's nothing being done in secret here. I mean, this is all going to be public. But if, at some point, maybe we need to have an adult conversation. Do we need to go to a forensic audit? I mean, I brought it up before. I know Luffin Associates has been doing a lot of work. But do we need a full cleansing of this town? I mean, I'll be happy to go back 5 or 10 years of let's open it all up and let's be transparent. I mean, if that's what the public wants, I think we owe it to the public to do that. But there is an expense, and where's the money come from? So, as we look at that, last year's expenses on legal fees, and we haven't been able to go back multiple years, but we're getting there, was a little over $580,000. Now, I want that to sink in for everybody. We have roughly a $3 million budget. And if you're spending almost $600,000 on legal expenses, it's unsustainable. Now, we had some exceptional problems last year. And, the Max Walton report that was referred to tonight generated about a $400,000 bill. And when the council approved that, did they authorize a blank check for all that stuff? I mean, I know they authorized Max Walton to do the work. Was it a blank check that was given?
I hear you, Paul.
But how does a bill become $400,000? We're talking about spending $10,000 to modernize our technology to do this stuff, and yet we're throwing away $400,000. I still like to see transcripts from Max Walton's report. I have serious issues with it, and I can't see the transcripts. Correct, Fred? Can we make the transcripts public?
I don't know that yet.
We spent $400,000. I'd like to see some of the backup data to it outside of, hey, this is what happened. Thank you very much. Here's my bill. I'd like a little bit more detail than that. I know there's a 117-page report that gave us opinions, and Courtney and I have talked about this. We got opinions, but the contract that Max Walton got wasn't to give us opinions. It was to give us the facts. We were going to come up with our own conclusions. Which is, if this is what the public's looking for transparency, let's give it to them.
Oh, I love you, but our Commissioner Bauer, but I want to keep this.
All right.
I respect you immensely. You know I do. We are on a path moving forward,
all right.
And I agree with you. And I was with you when we got voted down on the on audit.
On forensic audit.
And it may need to be done. But let's get the good progress moving forward.
I agree.
That's going to be the end of my commissioner comment. Yeah. And I mean nothing but respect. But I also know that you are onto something, and we may need to go there.
Right.
And I don't want to.
I mean, it's very unfair that you get criticized.
That was
on trying to be transparent.
And we invite the public in here to have these conversations with us. Mm-hmm. And I've opened this up for public comment as much as possible.
Right.
And that's going to happen to us, and it's a damn shame. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. That said, I will go there with you if we have
right.
to.
Right. Well, let's get the group together. I mean, somebody's got to authorize some money for it.
Next on my list. Sorry.
I mentioned before about the possibility of checking on conditional use, and I would hope that we go through with that. I think a lot of places have had conditional uses put on their business permit, their business license, and they're not following through with that. And there's so much going on in town, the town is not checked. For instance, whether a place is allowed to have live music or not, or any music, and it's had live music for months of time, So that's the type of thing we ought to, that person always should be checking on that. And it's not just the music, it's all the conditions we put on.
Moving cables, all of that.
Right. I'm a big proponent, and was a big proponent when we instituted the tree ordinance in the north end, and I would hope that the town makes a big effort to continue to try to save the trees as much as possible. What's funny is that I've been told people come to me, it's a little irritating, but people come to me and say, Dale, we had a person from the town say that you're a tree hugger and you're stopping us from cutting the tree on our lot. I'm not a tree hugger. I just don't want to see the trees cut down if they don't have to be. And the law says that, in the footprint of the house, the proposed house, can cut the trees down, but the other ones need to be saved. And that wasn't followed or isn't followed in town a lot. And I just think we shouldn't just be setting them down willy-nilly. And I would hope that we'd be a little more restrictive on that. And with the 2.5-story now, we've had a number of 3-story houses built that couldn't have been built, I don't think, in my opinion. And now we have a more limited form of the 2.5-story, or more definitive form of what the 2.5-story, and I think that should be implemented. I also think that we last month passed the pervious pavement as part of the entrances to the driveway, not the people's driveway themselves, but the entrance to the driveway. You know, it needs to be pervious material, it should be done. We weren't enforcing that before because it wasn't explicit, so now it's explicit. I want to thank the Highway 1 and Alex Fires in particular for the fireworks. They paid for and did that. This ran fireworks I've done in a number of years. The only reason he didn't get my text message this year is because I lost my phone the previous year and now don't have his phone number anymore. So thank you for the fireworks. And Scott mentioned the EMTs from the lifeguard. We should be very proud of them. This morning at Starboard, I was at breakfast and a gentleman fell over. Whether he passed out or something happened. But the first ones that showed up, or basically the first ones that showed up, were our EMTs. Because the other people came in a bunch of minutes later with the ambulance. So when you see our lifeguards, you should say thank you to them. Thank you. That's all.
Yep.
Mr. Person.
First of all, I'll say we enjoyed both the legal displays of fireworks as well as those that were illegal. There were 2 or 3 of those which were actually quite good and actually rivaled, in some sense, the illegal displays. And I apologize for making these comments, but I feel like I need to do that. And, you know, but my wife has already sent me a text message saying she's eating cereal for dinner, and that's probably what my dinner is going to be like that, too. So I apologize to all of you, but we started off with this with some public comment, and around this table, there is significant disagreement about the Max Walton Report, and I don't think we'll ever resolve that. And I'm not sure that we need to resolve that. What is important is really moving forward. And there were 3 motions that were offered and were approved unanimously as a result of the Max Walton Report. The first one was to have a complete accounting from the police department of their participation in the lesson program. We got a response from the police department. I have to say it's not all that I wanted or perhaps expected, but it's what we had. And I saw that really as feeding into the work that the TGEM group is doing now. I think we should be clear that what happened with the TGM group, there was some discussion doing a forensic audit. It was the audit committee that considered this. It was their decision. They voted to do an agreed-upon procedures process rather than doing a forensic audit. If for no other reason, because that's a very expensive process to get into, and there was no indication that there was any criminal wrongdoing that we would be looking for in a forensic audit. So I think it's clear to make that point. And the motion, as I recall, that was offered in November, that was approved unanimously, was to do an agreed-upon procedures process. Where there was some discussion about that procedure was the scope. Should it focus just on the participation in the LESO program, or should it encompass other divisions of town? The final decision was it should be done across the board in all decisions of the town. There is still an outstanding motion that I believe is still on the table and we may still pursue, and hopefully we will pursue, and that is to do some outside consulting work looking at procedures followed by the police department, the code enforcement department. And I don't recall off the top of my head now whether or not we included building official in there, but I think it may have been just restricted to code enforcement and police. I think that's a very valuable thing to do. We need to make sure that our police department and our code enforcement people are working up to professional standards, that they're following procedures that are really recommended. I mean, we have to have these people. These are essential people. We have to have a police department. It has to be well-staffed. It has to be well-trained. And we want to make sure that they're operating in a way that makes sense professionally.
So what's the best use?
I will stop there. Again, I think it's important that we move forward. We're not always going to agree on things. We don't agree on things that have taken place in the past, but we need to move forward in the best direction that we can and in the best consensus that we can so that we really can make some progress for the town.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Reardon.
Only thought that I think Gary is very eloquent in putting forward a position that I think is the way we ought to go.
I'm sorry, the end of that?
It's the way the town ought to go, the way Gary has eloquently suggested.
I think that's going to make my comment different. I love you two guys, too. But I have to differ with you. The recommendation that came from the committee came to this council, and it was vigorously debated, and strong arguments were made for a full forensic audit, and those were not, after much discussion, that didn't happen. And to say that we voted on it, and we voted to do just the agreed upon procedures and not really look at the whole thing. And I think that's what Paul's talking about. That's what those several members of our community wanted. And just so I'm perfectly clear too, I don't understand why there's a division between us and those people, because I think we all want the same thing. We all want accountability, we all want transparency, we want people to be held accountable for doing a bad job. And in the end of the day, agreed upon procedures, at the end of the day, after a night like this, we did the same thing. We looked at it and we said reasonable people, you and I said reasonable people can agree. Yeah. And we agreed to do the lesser. That wasn't just because the audit committee told us that's what we should do. And with that said, I love all of you as well. Dewey Beach is our home, and I think that's the last one before I actually make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All righty.